Orlando was racing alongside through the thick grass. Behind them, the abandoned animals began to wander over to the pool to drink, nervous with their newfound freedom. J. Hilton was bored. The village felt most peculiar, with no one working in the fields and allotments. By late afternoon, all the children had been called to their cabins. The whole place looked deserted, although she could see people glancing out of their cabin windows as she wandered aimlessly along the familiar paths. Her mother didn't want to talk, which was unusual. After she had come back from the search for Carter McBride, she had rolled onto her bunk and just stared at the ceiling. She hadn't joined the party which left with Mr. Manani to hunt down the Ivetts. Jay walked past the church. Father Elwes wasn't back yet. She knew he'd done something terribly wrong from the way Mr. Manani had reacted when she mentioned his name earlier, more than just his drinking. But it still wasn't right for him to be out in the jungle alone with the evening coming in. The sun was already invisible, skulking below the tops of the trees. Her enthusiastic and imaginative mind filled the blank jungle with all sorts of images. The priest had fallen over and broken an ankle. He was blundering about lost. He was hiding up a tree from a wild sace. Jay knew the jungle immediately around the village as though a didactic map had been laser-imprinted in her brain. If she was the one who found Father Elwes, she'd be a real heroine. She threw a quick glance at her cabin. There was no light on inside. Mother wouldn't notice her missing for half an hour or so. She hurried towards the somber fence of trees. It was quiet in the jungle. Even the chick-crows had departed, and the shadows were deeper than she was used to. Spires of orange and pink light pierced the rustling leaves, unnaturally bright in the gathering gloom. After 10 minutes, she thought that maybe this wasn't such a good idea after all. The well-worn track leading to the Savannah homesteads wasn't far off. She cut quickly through the undergrowth, coming out on the path a couple of minutes later. This was much better. She could see for about 70 meters in each direction. Some of her anxiety evaporated. "Father?" she called experimentally. Her voice was loud in the hushed ranks of dusky trees looming all around. "Father, it's me, Jay." She turned a complete circle. Nothing moved, nothing made a sound. She wanted the hunting parties to come marching into view so she could walk home with them. Some company would be very welcome. There was a crackling noise behind her like someone treading on a twig. "Father?" Jay turned round and let out a squeak. At first she thought the black woman's head was hovering in the air all by itself, but when Jay squinted hard she could just make out the silhouette of her body. It was as though light bent round it, leaving a tiny blue and purple ripple effect around the edges. The woman raised a hand. Leaves and twigs flowed fluidly over her palm, an exact pattern of what was behind her. She put a finger to her lips, then beckoned. Sango cantered down the track back to Aberdale, keeping to a steady rhythm as darkness began to pool around the base of the trees. Pearl Manani ducked occasionally to avoid low-hanging branches. The route was one he knew by heart now. He rode automatically as his mind reviewed possibilities. Everyone would have to stay in the village tomorrow. They could post guards so that work in the fields could continue. Any major interruption to their lives would be a victory for Quinn, and he mustn't allow that to happen. People were already badly shaken up by what had happened. Their confidence in themselves had to be built up from scratch again. He had passed Arnold Travis's group a quarter of an hour ago on their way home. They'd hanged all their Ivetts, and the group that had gone out to the homesteads was burying the Ivetts he'd shot at the Nichols place. Tomorrow a gang would trek out to the Skibbo homesteads and do what they could. Which wasn't going to be much, he admitted bitterly. But it could have been worse. Then again, it could have been a whole lot better. Paul sucked air in through his teeth at the thought of Quinn on the loose. At first light he would ride downriver to Schuster. The sheriff there would contact Durringham, and a proper manhunt could be organized. He knew Schuster's supervisor, Gregor O'Keefe, who had an affinity-bonded Doberman. They could go after Quinn straight away before the trail went cold. Gregor would understand the need. None of this was going to look good on his record. Families murdered and Ivetts in open revolt. The Land Allocation Office probably wouldn't give him another supervisor contract after this.